This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Jim says, no, I don't have a tape recorder. I don't even, wouldn't even know how to use one. He didn't have stuff like that. He didn't have an answering machine. And finally, they hung up on each other. Now, let me go to step two of the story. Not long thereafter, Alan Greenfield, myself, Rick Hilberg, and an old friend of mine from Brooklyn, New York, name of Marty Salkind, we went to Washington, D.C. We then took a brief excursion to Luray, Virginia, to spend a few hours with Major Kehoe at a local diner. Now, I used to joke later that we met Kehoe at the Luray Caverns, but I guess nobody took the hint. Anyway, Kehoe was a pleasant guy. I met him a few times after that. Very nice. Very nice. I didn't see a nasty bone in his body. My encounters with him were very pleasant. We go to NICAP's headquarters, and I had been there before on a previous trip. Went to NICAP's headquarters. The door is opened, and I'll tell you where NICAP's headquarters were located in a moment. The door is open. Hall looks at us, and he's like mid to late 20s, and I'm, what, 18, 19 years old, something like that, or 20 years old. All of us were around the same age. And Hall looks at me, shakes his finger, and says, "You're not welcome here." And we left. Now, why? I don't know. Except that he knew that I was working as a part-time job at Saucer News in New York. Okay? Maybe that's the reason, because he hated Jim Moseley. And then, of course, Jim would go around saying, "Hall must fall." Well, I started a movement to get rid of Richard Hall from NICAP. He did leave NICAP eventually. I don't think it was because of that, although Jim did take the credit for it. Now, to show you the differences in people, this is 1965. And we remember what happened with Cora Lorenzen, the encounter in 65 by mail, the physical meeting in 1975. At that very same convention, there's Richard Hall. And I walk up to him slowly and say, "Hi, I am." He says, Hi there, how are you?" We shook hands. We were totally okay with what happened in the past. That was gone. We could be friends. My only regret is that when we started the Paracast, I didn't contact Richard Hall in time to get him on the show.
Yeah. He must have had a lot of stories to tell. And I don't know about his field experience, but, you know, producing the UFO evidence books, you know, just and the NICAP files, having all the access to that, you know, I am fully under the impression he held that organization together. And Major Kehoe had, you know, his experience and his talent as a writer and investigation, that doesn't translate all that well to running an organization. I just don't think that, you know, it's a shame that they couldn't have utilized his talent. And, you know, it's just a shame that the organization was so plagued with problems. And of course, finances are always part of any UFO organization's worries.
Unfortunate, because I think if Kehoe brought in people who were really, really good at money, the organization would have done better and may have withstood the Condon Report, which pretty much killed the organization. The other thing that Kehoe did, which was unfortunate, but at the time he probably did it innocently, but you can see the reaction. His friends were military. Okay, he was a military person, a Marine, a retired Marine. His best friend, one of his best friends, was Admiral Hillenkoetter, the first head of the CIA. He puts these people on the board of NICAP. Look how important we are. We have these esteemed military figures. But people didn't react that way. It was, oh, Maybe NICAP is a military cover-up.
Infiltration. There's still examinations and accusations of that. Whereas I think if you really look at the organization, he was basically padding the board of directors with important people. So, yeah, I'm not sure where the truth lies, but that's my impression of it. I know an early UFO witness, let's see, what was his name? Commander Robert McLaughlin. I don't think he had any input in the organization, but he was listed as a board member. And I think that was just to pad the roster.
Yeah, as I said, Keough did this because he wanted people to take his organization seriously. Look, we have these esteemed military figures and scientists. They believe that UFOs are real. This is important. He didn't see the consequences.
Yeah. There's so many organizations that have done great things for a while and then collapsed under their own weight or a problem with succession planning. So, you know, you were talking about Coral and Jim Lorenzen. So the organization died with them. The publications, you know, stopped. The files went into a black hole somewhere. But you know, they had built so much over the years. They had a network of you know, and they sought out qualified professionals as advisors and consultants. They had a great network, you know, and of course MUFON bled some of that off and tried to copy it. But you know, it's just, had it not been, and you know, I have to wonder in that case, is, you know, was it ego? Were they so hands on and wanting to control things that they didn't train, you know, the next generation to come along? You know, there was no estate planning. So, you know, it's a shame. It'd be interesting to see if it could be revived. I guess it's just way too long now. There's only a few people that are still active that were part of it.
The other thing here is I understand that their files were placed in file cabinets because we're talking about standard analog content here on printed paper and such, but no one has been able to get access to those files.
Yeah, I happen to know, just from seeing parts of correspondence in investigators' work, and that there were files that went to APRO that they had information on that they didn't publish in the bulletin. And even if they did, they only had so much space per issue, and they were usually behind, so it was a summary. So there are entire case histories, and we've only seen a small section of the material. You know, and the investigators love the case data, and there's so much more. And of course, also there's bound to be photographs in there that were only printed in this, you know, one step up from a mimeo back in the, you know, 50s and up to the 80s. So,
you know, you mentioned something here just very briefly, mimeograph. This was a common device used to print a small newsletter. And you type on a stencil, and the stencil will be wrapped around the drum of the printer. You do one page at a time. It's not like, you know, duplexing that you can do on printers now. One page at a time, and typing on a stencil was the biggest royal pain in the universe. I don't know if you've ever done it.
No, it was in my early school days, they were still using Mimeo, and I would see a teacher typing on one of the forms, but I never saw the process. I've seen film of it, so... So was your issues originally presented that way?
Until I could afford the photo offset printing.
Wow.
Because mimeograph was just impossible. If you made a mistake, because I was a fast typist, but I'd make mistakes, you had to use this liquid that had a very strange odor to cover it over, to paper it over and type again. We've got more to come. Jacques coming up soon. with Gene and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So just think about that there. Just think about that. Where we had to use mimeographs, and schools, I think, were the biggest consumer of the product. But that was a way to get out some more publications. Now, I have here a laser printer that probably didn't cost much more than my mimeograph machine of those days. I think the mimeograph machine was like $150. And my laser printer is $150. But it is camera-ready copy. It prints on both sides of the page, although it's, you know, it's 8.5 by 11 or 8.5 by 14. It's not 11:17. But if I bought a special version of this printer, I could literally print a magazine on it and then take it to a binder and have it, what they call, saddle stitched and make magazines from it. Just think how that technology has changed over the years. Kirk Collins is our guest co-host. Jacques Vallée will 100%, I promise, will be with the next segment. He had to kind of limit his appearance because he's doing some traveling. And he'll mention this briefly, probably. He's going to Paris soon, and the authorities in Paris are working on a large UFO report, several hundred pages, and we hope to ask Jacques about it. So we're definitely going to keep in touch with him. The other thing here we're going to ask Jacques about is a very, very curious book called Trinity, The Best Kept Secret. Jacques is one author. The other author is Paula Harris. Oh, yeah?
Oh, boy. It's interesting. She has a lot of, let's say she has a very open mind. But another interesting thing is she's also a UFO convention promoter. She holds this StarWorks conference each year. And if you look at the guest lineup there, it's some wild and woolly folks. And there's usually a few people that are more on the respectable side. And there's your Jaime Masson and some very imaginative types, we'll just say.
I don't think she has any filters on. I think that's a big problem, that she is open to everything. And she can do some good stuff and some stuff that's not so good. And that's the problem. I know that we had her on the PowerCast, I think exactly once. And we asked her about the time she said that Billy Meyer is the real deal. And that was one of those conversations that really went off. And I think we reached the point where we kind of sort of hung up on each other before the show ended. This is with our original co-host. I later met Paula Harris. And she was a really gracious lady, very nice. She's since wanted to come back on the PowerCast. I just don't know why. But let me tell you something about this book, because we're going to ask Jacques about it. They quote, first of all, people who have given good words about the book. One is the late Paul Hellyer, who was kind of wacky. So I won't say so much about that. But also, listen to this, Christopher Mellon, okay, one of the current people in the UFO field who is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for the United States of America, called the data in this book fresh reason to believe that our government is concealing physical proof of alien technology. Read the book, and if persuaded, join the millions of other Americans seeking a straight answer. That's Christopher Mellon.
Oh, that's way out there, isn't it?
I mean, Paul Hellyer, I understand that he could be way out there in left field or right field, whatever field you want to be in. He'd be in the fringe. He'd be hanging on the fringe. But Mellon? He's supposed to be a serious guy. How does he accept this?
I wonder about that. You know, there, Dr. Vallée was last on your show in 2017, and a lot's happened since then. You know, lots of UFO things in the news, the projects he's worked on, and Chris Mellon was, I think he was sort of around on the periphery, but, you know, he's really coming into prominence since 2017, and has been a huge advocate for disclosure. And he, you know, in a lot of ways with this effort, you know, I think Leslie Kane sort of was at the forefront of the rebranding of ufology. And they sort of were taking it back to the Donald Kehoe days, where they're saying, okay, we're not going to talk about visiting aliens and abductions. We're just going to talk about sightings of saucers, about credible observers, you know, military pilots, airline pilots, and that sort of thing. It's like, what's going on? So they sort of repackaged it, and along with even NARCAP, who focuses on airline encounters, you know. So it's a matter of air safety. So, and that's been packaged into the "Are UFOs a threat" scenario, and that's something they've been able to persuade the congressman. And Chris Mellon's very much part of that, and his position, for the most part, has been we need to find out what these things are. However, in the meantime, he's drawn some conclusions, and he keeps referring to them as vehicles and anomalous vehicles. And so, and then, you know, he gives these hints, you know, it's like, well, if they're not ours, they must be somebody else's. So, you know, he's dropping hints. But in the introduction to this book, it does sound a whole lot more like, you know, these are little men in spaceships from some, you know, another planet.
I don't know what you can say about that. He's become a true believer, I guess. Now, the same is true for, by the way, former Senator Harry Reid. Remember, Senator Reid was one of those instrumental in getting $22 million of government funds. I guess they decided to buy fewer toilet seats and screwdrivers that year, and instead devoted that to sending it over to Bob Bigelow to do UFO research.
Well, that's a very confusing story, because It sounds like his friendship with Robert Bigelow is really where this all came from. And Robert Bigelow was focused on Skinwalker Ranch. And if you listen to George Knapp and Harry Reid tell the story, it sounds like it was the Skinwalker Ranch is what got this whole ball rolling. And then that there was the phenomena thing. And of course, they were able to package it around, you know, is there an aerial threat? And that was what the funding for this whole project, what that became known as ATIP, was all about, was, you know, is there a foreign technology we need to worry about? And what is the future and the capabilities that will be developed in the next 40 or 50 years? And can we do it? Is somebody else working on it? And, you know, how do we prevent being surprised by enemy developments? So, and there were all these papers written for this end. And so Harry Reid, though, is kind of cagey in describing it, but he says he's not interested in the stories of the little green men, and those are his words, that it's all about air safety.
We have Jacques Vallée coming up next with Gene and with Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
At least 50,000 Afghans are expected to be admitted into the United States following the chaotic fall of Kabul as part of an enduring commitment to help those who aided the American war effort and others who are particularly vulnerable under Taliban rule. That's according to DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Regarding the troop withdrawal from Afghanistan, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Milley was asked by Fox News if the withdrawal could have been executed better.
The collapse of the Afghan army happened at a much faster rate and very unexpected by pretty much everybody. And then with that is the collapse of the Afghan government. So that was definitely a surprise. But I will say that there was an awful lot of planning done.
President Biden spending his Labor Day weekend at his Delaware home. USA Radio News. Today's show weatherman Willard Scott is dead. He was 87. Al Roker calling Scott a beloved member of the Today Show family. Scott, who joined NBC's Today Show in 1980, may be best known for wishing happy birthday to people celebrating their 100th birthday. Oregon state troopers and firefighters are suing their governor.
A group of Oregon police officers and firefighters have sued the state's governor over a vaccine mandate. Governor Kate Brown signed an order on August 13th requiring anyone employed by the executive branch of the state to show full proof of vaccination against COVID by October 18th. The lawsuit filed by the Oregon Fraternal Order of Police and the Kingsley Firefighters Association calls for the governor's order to be blocked, claiming it conflicts with Oregon statutes, the Oregon Constitution's guarantee of free expression, and the United States Constitution's guarantee of equal protection, free exercise, and due process. Oregon is one of 18 states, along with the District of Columbia, to have some form of vaccine mandate for its state's workers. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
USA Radio News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, folks, let's just look at this real carefully. Our main guest for this segment, Jacques Vallée, is an internet pioneer. You look up his bio. He was there in the early days. As you know, I've written a number of books and magazine articles about the internet. And Kurt Collins, our guest co-host this week, has been struggling to get connected, and we couldn't get his Skype connection to work.
In my case, I didn't even get to the headset. I did dig up my old version. You know, I haven't used Skype in a year and a half. So I dug up my old version, and I was happy to find I still had $24.22 credit. So I tried to start it, but then it went down from there because it told me that I had an old version. I had to update a new version to the new browser and everything else. And I could do it, but I couldn't do it by the time of our session.
Let me ask you, are you using a Mac or a PC?
A PC, you know, fairly late model, and I've got all the right software. But one problem is that I've gotten used to Zoom. You know, Zoom works the first time, and it doesn't get you into all this garbage. You know, they've really designed something for people who are busy. Skype is still... You know, it's funny to say that, but it's old-style software from the days where, you know, you had to reload everything and manage your files in the background and do all that. And who's got time for that today?
I kind of agree with you. The only thing is here, when we want to do the kind of group stuff that we want to do for sessions up to 2 hours and more, Zoom wants to send us a bill.
Yeah. Well, that may be the price you pay for having, the convenience. You can always do it in several sessions, but I realize that's not very convenient.
We will survive, my friend. Let me ask you here, since we don't have you for a long amount of time, and I wanted to really cut to the chase on a couple of things here. All the stuff that we're seeing now on UFOs as a result of the New York Times article, is that like revisiting the excitement of the 60s when we had congressional hearings and the Condon Report, or do you think something's different this time?
You know, I'm a little bit jaded about that because you mentioned the Condon Report. The New York Times, of course, enthusiastically embraced the Condon Report and said, you know, UFOs are dead. And they were dead for the last how many years. Of course, the Academy of Sciences embraced the Condon Report and said, that's it, you know, UFOs, there may be something, but it's not important, okay? And then, of course, the Air Force stopped their program. They didn't really stop it because pilots continued to see things in the sky and report them. There was no active Blue Book program. So, wind up the thing to today. Today, the New York Times is enthusiastically, embracing pilots who see UFOs. They're not Air Force. I mean, the Air Force still doesn't see anything. It's the Navy that sees things now and reports it, which is great. So, to answer your question, no, a page has been turned. We're back. Now the New York Times embraces it. The Academy of Sciences is curious about it and listening. You have people like, Professor Avilov at Harvard starting a program to look at the sky and to look at space for essentially, sightings of interesting objects. So those are all positive things. So we've gone, two steps ahead all of a sudden, thanks to, a few brave people writing good articles, including good articles in the New York Times and waking up all that. Having said that, we've also taken one step back from the two steps ahead in the fact that I don't think the UFO community realizes, yes, there will be periodic reports now. I think they're talking about monthly reports on what they collect, but it's all going to be classified. So we've gone from, mild interest or no interest in the open world to great interest in the classified world, and maybe a new window on the phenomenon for scientists, which I guess overall is kind of positive. But I don't know where that leaves us, the people actually doing research on the ground.
What interests me, too, with this new report is it kind of wants to ignore everything that went before. So there was nothing until 2004. All those sightings, all the stuff that happened before the Condon Report, all the stuff that happened after the Condon Report, that doesn't exist.
Yes. Well, there are a few people like me and a number of our friends who have continued to compile data and put it on the internet and publish things. I mean, as you know, I just published a book with Paola Harris called Trinity about a case that all of us had ignored, except her, that, was a crash in New Mexico 2 years before the word flying saucer was even invented, two years before Kenneth Arnold. And there are really interesting reasons why nobody knew about that. So I've learned a lot in the last, 3 years working with Paola on the book and on the research and in the field and in New Mexico, interviewing the witnesses, going back to the site. So the research continues, and I think that a page has been turned in the official, now it's okay to talk to scientists openly about UFOs. What you discover is that they know nothing. I mean, you see these experts who are brought on TV to talk about UFOs, science leaders, and they say things like, how come UFOs are only seen in the U.S.? Or how come UFOs have only been seen, reported accurately in the last 5 years, you know? And that's staggering. I mean, there's an enormous education campaign that we need to do to bring the scientific community up to date.
It's like they were living in another reality. And the question I would have here, which is most interesting, is after all this, what was the Air Force, what was the Pentagon, what was the Navy? What were they doing when people saw UFOs? Were they just saying, oh, that's not kosher anymore, it doesn't exist?
So, I've wondered about that, of course. I think that there is a good reason why we only get, the sightings they talk about are the ones from the last 5 years or so. And, the ATIP program, that was run by Lou, by Lou Elizondo and so on. The data in the last 5 years has taken a great jump in quality because of the sensors that are now aboard those ships and those airplanes. So, what broke it was, of course, the Nimitz data from very, very good infrared cameras. Now, they are infrared, so they don't really give you a picture. They give you a temperature signature.
Jacques Vallée is joining us for the second half of the PowerCast. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. Kurt is subjected to not the best connection, but we're living with it. With Gene, with Jacques, and with Kurt, you're in
the PowerCast.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
On the Paracast, Jacques Vallée joining us. I think the last time you were with us was like 2017, so we're really, really happy to have you back for the time that we have here. I did see you making a prominent presence in the movie of The Phenomenon, which is really nice because James Fox has worked on that thing for so long. It's like he gave up his life to make that film.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I had a chance to help in the editing, so I came in towards the end of the filming. He was still filming a few things, adding a few things, but we spent quite a bit of time in the editing room with people who were very knowledgeable about the phenomenon, and essentially the problem was an abundance of riches. I mean, having to cut in the extraordinary material he had, put it into the right size. It was quite an experience because and I tried to bring recollection of what it was like to talk about Socorro with Dr. Hynek and the things that went there and so on, and that helped in editing. So there is some value in having been around for a long time, because you can see a perspective that, you know, even the good people in Washington don't really see, because they have a term of duty of a few years. They get exposed to this stuff and they do the best job they can, but they don't really have the perspective. And of course, the Air Force is out of the business. So your question of what they do is, people have assumed, including scientists, that there were no more UFOs. Well, you know, blue book or no blue book, the pilots are going to continue to see things. And the regulation that they are under has never been repealed. So, you know, an Air Force pilot who is at 15,000 feet and is being paced by some light or some strange object is going to report it, and it's going to go into a file, and it's going to be followed up. It just doesn't get to the attention of the public or to the scientists. The only reason we know about the Nimitz is that the tape, you know, I think this is 2004 and 2005, people had the tape, and the tape somehow came to the attention of a number of people within the Navy and also within Bob Bigelow's project at Bass, you know, in Las Vegas. Actually, you know, I worked on the database for that project, which was, as you know, funded by the DOD, and I really couldn't move to Las Vegas because I had a regular job in Silicon Valley, and I don't think I could quite quit overnight and move to Vegas. But I designed that database, and the man who took it over from me after I had designed it was one of the F-18 pilots. So we knew at that time, way back, we had seen the film, and we knew about it, but the public really didn't pay much attention until it came out in James movie and, of course, in the New York Times and on the Internet. So I think the new interest is caused by the fact that we do have good data now that a scientist can look at, you know, good data from excellent equipment. And you can correlate the radar with the Raytheon thermal camera. Now, I think people have jumped to conclusions a little bit too quickly. Raytheon wrote a multi-page memo to the Navy saying, yeah, you have those pictures from the cameras we gave you. I mean, those are large devices, and they are under the wings of the F-18s. Not all of them, by the way. I mean, just some of them. But they are designed to track an enemy aircraft. So they are designed to track exhaust from a jet, essentially. I mean, that's all they do. It's not a picture. It's a thermal signature. So the Raytheon thing was quite open about, you know, what it was. I mean, they didn't speculate about what the output was. But they said, be careful, because, you know, we didn't sell you a camera. We sold you an infrared device that is designed for a particular job, a military job, you know, a combat job. And, it works, but you have to correlate it with other things. So it's just one piece of a very complex puzzle. So when you see those pictures in the New York Times and you say, oh, you know, obviously that's a UFO. Well, yeah, but there are some steps in between. And I think people have jumped to conclusions a little bit quickly about how fast it went and the fact that you couldn't do that and so on. I mean, it gets very complicated, and the data you would need to analyze that has not been released. So about half of the data, you know, was taken from the carrier by a few people who landed and went to the captain and got the data from the Roosevelt and from the Nimitz and flew off. So we don't have the classified side of it, which might, you know, presumably would be important to have to correlate with the stuff that we do have. On the other hand, I mean, the testimony that to me is fascinating is the visual testimony from the pilots, from Fravor, and from, one or two other pilots who actually saw something as part of that, because there, I trust their eyes a lot more than I would trust. They knew where they were, they knew what they were looking at, and I trust their eyes. These are very, very experienced men and women, much more than I trust, an infrared camera, which is important backup in the data stream. But the human eye, you know, is still the best detector.
Now, one of the questions or issues raised, one of the issues raised here is whether, after all this, some or all of these objects could have been drones or some foreign powers technology.
So if you follow, which is hard to do, but if you follow the technical literature on countermeasures, you encounter a number of things that have not really been brought into the equation here, including an ability to make an image appear on radar of an airplane that isn't there. It's called DRFM, D-R-F-M, Directed Radio Frequency Management. And I had, in my investment career, I had an occasion to look at it because one of the companies that had been developing that kind of technology, which is essentially countermeasures, you know, which is a very broad field in electronics, in which I'm not an expert, by the way, but one of those companies approached me because they wanted to spin off a piece of the technology that was no longer classified, and they thought it could be used by general aviation, and they were looking for somebody to finance a startup, and they would give us a technology that was already pretty mundane. This was something like 20 years ago, so it's very, very mundane by now. But people don't seem to know that you can do that. That, you know, a small airplane flying over Los Angeles can look like a B-52 20 miles away to all the radars in the area. So the question is, which I can ask the question. I have no idea about the answers. You know, where is that technology now? The management of radio frequency, especially applied to radar and other things. So when you're looking, and that's always true. I mean, in science, when you're looking at something on a screen, for example, in astronomy, you have to ask how much is really out there and how much, you know, how much is my own device and its own noise in the device or any other defect or any other error in the electronics or in the processing or in the optics.
We'll have more with Jacques Vallée. Our guest co-host is Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.